Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Lewis Fine, and as always, we have a great show for you today with Kevin Guz from Homevestors Dallas. Kevin poses the question, how do you want to be remembered? Which is to say, what kind of real estate investor do you want to be, and how do you want to be remembered with regard to your reputation and your success as a real estate investor? So with that having been said, let me bring Kevin on the program. Kevin, welcome.
Hi, Lewis.
Hi. So as we customarily do, let's dive into this. How should people be remembered in terms of real estate investing?
Well, the way I see it is it's going to ultimately boil down to your individual success as a real estate investor, which of course can be defined in so many different ways. But at the end of the day, what truly matters is, are you a successful real estate investor? Are you a successful real estate investor because you are able to differentiate yourself and rise above the rest and be the best investor in the eyes of the seller, that owner of a distressed piece of real estate, a single family home or a condo or a townhouse, and whatever type of distress it might be, financial or personal, or perhaps just a house in need of repair. And in the eyes of those sellers, with those situations and the objective to sell, can you position yourself as the best among them? And when you do that, your legacy will write itself, and you will be the real estate investor you'd like to be in the eyes of those sellers and your peers and colleagues, et cetera. And what brings this topic to mind and makes it so relevant, at least for me personally right now, is time real estate investor and a Homevestor franchisee here in Dallas, Texas. And our market here in Dallas, like so many markets across the country, has become incredibly competitive for real estate investors. And it really forces an investor like myself and like many of our listeners and readers, it really forces you to strive to differentiate yourself amongst your competition, because there is so much competition. And you've got to differentiate yourself in the eyes of the seller. And that's what really begs the question, is how are you doing that, and what are you doing in order to differentiate yourself and rise above your competitors and ultimately to become that successful investor and create that legacy or that reputation that you're seeking to build for yourself? Obviously, it becomes more than simply being the investor who pays the most. That would be great if we all had the capability to simply pull that lever, the price lever, and be that investor who pays the most, therefore differentiating ourselves from our competitors, buying the most properties, and becoming that high-volume, successful investor. But as we all know, it's not realistic to be the best investor, the biggest investor, or the most popular investor among sellers simply because you pay the most. It's not financially prudent to do that, and it's not realistic either. So you as an investor really have to figure out, how am I going to differentiate myself? How am I going to rise above the competition? And what am I going to do to create a positive impression with sellers, so that ultimately I can grow my business, I can buy properties, and I can become that successful investor that I strive to be? And there are really three core areas that I challenge you to look at when trying to differentiate yourself as an investor amongst a highly competitive pool of investors that I'm sure exist in your market, just like they exist in my market here in Dallas, Texas. And the three areas I look at, once again, recognizing that I simply can't be the guy who pays the most, because that's not a sustainable or a prudent strategy for us as investors. We've all got to look at different ways, other ways, to be that investor we're seeking to be, and most importantly, to be that investor that the sellers are seeking to find. And the three areas that I focus on are, first of all, demonstrating that I'm a serious investor. I do what I say I'm going to do, and I have the capability, the ability, and the resources to do what I say I'm going to do as a real estate investor in the eyes of a seller. Secondly, I know I've got to position myself as a problem solver in the eyes of a seller. I've got to understand what their objective is, what their need is, or perhaps even what their pain is, and I've got to demonstrate the ability to solve that problem or to satisfy that need or to eliminate that pain that that owner or seller of that distressed property is currently experiencing. And then finally, you've got to be able to demonstrate as an investor in the eyes of your seller that you are somebody who's capable and willing to serve. And what I mean by that is to serve the needs of that investor. They have called you to their house because they have a specific need or a void or an objective, and you've got to be willing to serve them above and beyond perhaps what that need or what that objective is. And you've got to be able to demonstrate that willingness and that ability to serve. So let's talk about these three. First, that serious investor. And once again, we're looking at ways an investor can differentiate and rise above the competition and become a successful investor and buy more investment properties without just being the guy who simply pays the most. Because I can tell you from my experience as an investor here in Dallas for over 10 years, I'm not always the highest bidder, or my offer is not always the highest offer on many of the homes I purchase. And it's because there's other characteristics that the seller identifies as important that makes them comfortable with me as an investor and therefore chooses to sell their home to me, even though my offer may not be the highest. And I'm sure this is the case for many of you too, new investors, part-time investors, weekend investors, or full-time investors. So how do you convince a seller that you're a serious investor? Well, you've got to convey, whether it's through communication or your actions, in that time that you have meeting with that seller at that distressed property, you've got to convince them that you intend to buy the house and you have the ability to buy the house and you will buy the house if an agreement is reached that has terms that are palatable to both of you or acceptable to both of you. And you've got to, most importantly, convince them that you will do what you say you're going to do, in terms whether that means closing on a specific date or paying a specific price, providing certain information that they need in order to make their decision. And there's a lot of ways that you can demonstrate your seriousness as an investor when it comes to demonstrating this with an individual seller. You can offer more earnest money in your contracts. You know, many investors may only offer $500. Maybe you offer $1,500 or $3,000 or $5,000, depending on the house, depending on your market. You can put that in your contract, and it is a very powerful way of demonstrating, I'm so serious about purchasing your house, I'm willing to put down $5,000 in earnest money at the title company in order to demonstrate my ability and my commitment to closing on this purchase. You as an investor, you should definitely make your offers while you're meeting with that seller versus leaving the seller and calling him back that afternoon or the following day. Make your offer on the spot so they know that you're capable of determining what you can spend and you're willing to commit to that number quickly and immediately, because after all, that's why they invited you to the house. keep in mind you've got to gain their confidence. And these are just two examples of ways you can do that, with earnest money and with on-the-spot offers. Talk about your ability as a problem solver, as a real estate investor. That distressed seller called you to that house because they have a problem that they have to solve. And a component of that problem is the fact that they need to sell this house. And you as an investor, when you get to that house, you're excited, you're anxious, you want to work out a deal, but keep in mind, you've got to step back and listen to what their problem is. If you don't, you won't understand the problem they're seeking to solve. So take the time, make the effort, and be conscious of the fact that you've got to listen to that seller and what they have to tell you, and as they educate you in their situation, and they talk about the house, these are all important things that you've got to listen to in order to demonstrate to them that you are one who can solve their problem, and you can understand their problem, and you can provide a solution to that problem. And I'll give you some examples. You know, a leaseback, for instance, is a great way to demonstrate the ability to solve a problem. Many sellers, they have a house they have to sell, but they're in a conundrum. They can't sell the house because they don't have any money to move to the next house or to put a down payment or to place a deposit. Leasebacks are a great way to purchase a property, close the property in the sale, get the money to the seller, and perhaps allow them to remain in the house on a temporary lease for 30 days. So they have the luxury of having the money in their bank account and the burden of home ownership gone and the ability to find their next home, put down a deposit or put down a down payment, and even fund a move because of the fact you purchased their property, you paid them for the house, and you're allowing them to stay there for 30 days, for example, while they find their new home. Leasebacks are a great way to demonstrate your ability and willingness to be a problem solver as a real estate investor. And then finally, your willingness to serve and serve the needs of that seller specifically. And remember, it's not always about the house. The house is a byproduct. It's an outcome. The purchase of that house is a byproduct or an outcome of your ability to meet with that seller, demonstrate your seriousness as an investor, and demonstrate your ability as a problem solver. Ultimately, you're going to do all of that and, at the end of the day, purchase the house. But you've got to have this willingness to serve, understand their need, and serve to satisfy that need. One example of this, we deal with a lot of remote sellers as real estate investors. You get the kids who the parents have deceased. The children are now adults. They live in another state, but they're charged with selling the house. And they may only be able to come to town once in order to show the house to you and negotiate the terms of the deal, and then they're gone. Or perhaps you're dealing with a seller who is elderly and has moved into a care center, but they have to sell the house on the other side of town. A way to demonstrate your willingness to serve is pay for a mobile notary. Once you negotiate the deal and get the contract signed and the purchasing process, when it comes time to close, send a mobile notary to the home of that child who's selling the house, the parent's house, or to the place where that elderly person now lives in a care center, and maybe they're not very mobile and able to come across town to a title office, send a mobile notary. They're very cheap, $100 to $150, depending on where you live. It's a great way to serve the needs of that seller and differentiate yourself from your competition. So ask yourself, how are you going to be remembered? How are you going to differentiate yourself among your competitors? Price is not the only way to do it. Be serious, demonstrate your ability to solve, and demonstrate your ability to serve. These things will differentiate you from the pack, even when your price is not the highest.
As always, great points, Kevin. Thank you so much for your insight and intelligence and wisdom concerning these issues.
Thank you, Lewis.